I did want to bring in Adam Van Cooverden, Canadian Olympic kayaker, who's been very patiently waiting while Mr. Brunt and myself talked ourselves through this situation. Adam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Before we came on today, I was just telling Mr. Brunt, I was scurrying through a couple of websites that collate sports writing from Europe and translate it. And we saw yesterday Vladimir Putin, you know, much, much, much less angry than I thought he would be with the IOC's decision. There now seems to be an indication, Adam, that possibly there is some sort of handshake agreement that will see the Russian NOC perhaps reinstated towards the end of the games. You know, there's been talk that maybe at the end of the games, the Russian athletes might in fact be able to march in under their flag. Essentially, they would be welcomed back into the Olympic community after being banned for state-sponsored doping. So there's a lot I want to get to here with you. But the first question is, as an athlete, as an Olympian, as somebody with an awful lot of skin in this game, does that bother you, the fact that the idea that there may have been some sort of, side agreement here?
I this is the first I've heard about it, and I've been reading about the situation since Tuesday, just like you. So I can't say that I've been on any Russian websites and been translating, but I was reading the New York Times this morning, and the next deliberation that I am aware of is over the next 9 weeks, the stipulations for what's required for an athlete to compete under this so-called neutral banner, neutral flag, or Olympic flag need to be identified, and that's sort of what I'm interested in.
Okay.
Is who's allowed to compete. I don't know about any handshake deals. I mean, Vladimir Putin is pretty friendly with the IOC because, I mean, he's a world leader, like it or not, right? He was in Canada Olympic House in Sochi. I mean, yeah, he's not the most well loved, but I mean, he is a world leader, and coming with that, like, accords all sorts of privileges and access to people like Thomas Bach. I would be shocked if Russian athletes were somehow, after 8 or 9 days of ban, say, okay, you guys have done your time, come out of the corner now.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see the Pyeongchang Olympics go start to finish without any Russian flags being raised for Olympic gold medals. This was an unprecedented level of doping that has never been uncovered before. I won't say that we've never seen it before, but it's certainly never been out in the open. So I think this punishment is measured and sets precedent.
So, but let's talk about that, the idea of who's going to get in, who is eligible to compete under that OAR banner, Adam, and who is not. And because that, because of the when they announced this and said, well, we will allow clean Russian athletes to compete under that banner, it's number one, it's impossible to prove a negative. You can't prove that you didn't use drugs. And the definition of clean has been one that has been difficult to pin down in the past. For instance, if an athlete had been caught with doping before and had paid the penalty and then was eligible to compete again, is that a clean athlete or is that a dirty athlete, assuming that they then have to go through a whole other level of testing, for these games? Do you find that in any way problematic, this idea that, we're going to designate some athletes as clean and decide some others are dirty, where you may kind of lurch into some of those gray areas?
No, because I always fell into the category of an athlete who had to prove that he was clean, right? Like, there's no presumption of innocence. You have to do all the drug tests in order to identify yourself as a clean athlete. It's always incumbent upon you to be there for the drug tests, and I never missed one, and I never produced a positive sample in all the drug tests that I did, which I would presume is over 100. And I think that presumption needs to continue. But you have to recognize that a Russian athlete, in many cases, who has not doped and who has never produced a positive sample inside or outside Russia, and has subjected him or herself to all of these drug tests from third parties, may have had to go through things that other athletes from other countries didn't have to, by avoiding, the powers that be and the powers that are encouraging athletes to dope. And, those athletes should be sort of quietly commended and not punished, because they're in an environment where cheating is the norm in many cases. And if they avoided those pressures, then I don't think they should be punished. There are most certainly athletes from Russia who are not cheating, and there are most certainly athletes from Russia who have won medals who are not cheating. If you watch Icarus, you can see what Rodchenko states is the sort of percentage of athletes, and he says it's somewhere around 50%. So to penalize everybody, and in many cases penalize people who have actively, you know, avoided the system, I think would be wrong. I think this is a very measured approach. But there are a lot of athletes who don't agree with my opinion. They think that the entire country should be banned, and they have more of an emotional reasoning for coming to that conclusion, and they have I won't begrudge them for making that decision. We all come from different places, and you know, I never lost out on a medal because of a Russian athlete who I had to wonder about.
But I guess what I'm saying, are you, I absolutely understand what you're saying in the sense of and about the decision and the ruling and allowing clean athletes to go. But are you confident in the ability to differentiate between clean and dirty Russian athletes? I am assuming that, you know, mistakes may be made and they may miss the odd one, or somebody might, you know, get through the net. But, you know, that can be a tricky process. Again, especially when you might be dealing with people who have doped in the past, have paid the penalty, and would be eligible or could apply for reinstatement. I'm wondering how they, whether it's, this is treated as in terms of absolutes. If you have ever doped before, you are not eligible to compete, or whether you apply the same rules that have been applied to other doping, the people caught doping before, which is that if you know, once you pay your penalty, you can come back and compete.
Yeah, well, I'm also very interested to know what the rationales will be for every individual case. But of course, going through them all and figuring out exactly what stipulations are applied to each athlete is going to be a process. Unless they release their documentation around that rationale, then we won't really know. But I'd just like to say that, you know, if we were going to say that a Russian athlete who has tested positive, paid the price, and has been reinstated, is not eligible under these new stipulations, then we have to extend that to other athletes from other countries as well. Because there's people from other countries under the exact same situation. We can't say, oh, a Russian athlete who cheated, you know, 5 years ago and then was reinstated after serving a ban is not eligible just because you're from Africa. But what about the athlete from another country who had the exact same experience? And, you know, around the idea of you've proven that you're innocent every time that we've tried to test you, and you've never produced a positive sample with a third party test, but we still have our suspicions. That could also go for other athletes. So I feel like we could get a little bit too, and I think the world is pretty suspicious of Russia right now, whether it has to do with politics or sport or anything else. And I'm just very, very careful and measured in my response to be prejudiced against the entire country and every athlete from it, because I have a lot of friends who competed from Russia who I feel were doing so under true pretenses.
Adam, I'm interested in, as someone who's an athlete and has competed in a lot of Olympics, what is the degree of personal responsibility here for athletes who have failed these tests? You know, you touched on something that I don't think gets said enough. You know, kudos to those who essentially fought the system to stay clean, because essentially that's what we're talking about here. People who were clean probably had to go through a lot to remain clean, probably had to put up with a lot of pressure, all that stuff. You know, the athletes who failed, how much personal responsibility do they bear, or do they also in some ways have a quote-unquote excuse because it was systemic? Because, you know, at the end of the day, we all make a decision about what we're going to put into our bodies. At least we all think we do. But I got to tell you, I mean, if I'm a Russian athlete and everybody else around me is doing this stuff, and this is to get on my team or to get to the Olympics, not even to win, but to get to the Olympics. I mean, you got to be an awfully strong person to just say no.
That's precisely what I mean. It does take strength. And I think it probably takes just as much, you know, active avoidance as to not cheat in some countries as it would to actually, you know, game the system and cheat in a country like ours. Whereas when I was an athlete, I was regularly getting woken up at 5:45 in the morning with a doorbell to provide, you know, blood and urine to a stranger. And I participated in that process. And I think that, you know, it's comparable to somebody who's cheating in some other country to somebody who's not cheating in a country that has systematic doping. But I think we're getting kind of wrapped up in that. The whole thing is, I think there's two groups of athletes, and we need to treat them both with respect and understand that that just because we're being very negative about Russia in the media, we shouldn't paint all Russians with the exact same brush. But mm-hmm. they should also be punished and understand that, yes, everything that goes into your body is your responsibility as an athlete. And there's nobody that's cheating that thinks it's not against the rules.
Right.
There were athletes, you know, in time immemorial that were given things they didn't know what was going on. But I think if you have a needle in your arm in 2017, you probably know that it's not, you know, vitamin B12.
Right.
And your doctor, you know, is injecting you with something. But that peer pressure is important. And the athlete's background is important. And culture is really, really important, because we tend to judge. You can only judge from your own perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live in Toronto and you have a good life and, you know, you've got an education and you do sport because it's fun, then, you know, you view doping with a certain lens. And then if you, you know, come from a very poor family in rural Russia and you're a very good weightlifter and, you know, your family's impoverished, and if you win a gold medal, they might get out of that situation. I have no ability to view that person's perspective. I can judge them personally. I can say I hate them because they cheated, but I still don't know where they came from.
That's really well said.
It is. Adam, were you, when you kind of, you along with the rest of us learned about the scope of this doping program, Russia, were you shocked by the scope of it? Was it worrisome to you at all that minus a whistleblower, they might have gotten away with it? And I guess the third part of that is, do you think the Russians are outliers, or that this could, something on this scope could be going on somewhere else right now?
I think it's important to recognize that cheating happens in most countries or in most places, not just in sport. You know, like, there's cheating in every sport. There's cheating in every walk of life. I said yesterday on Matt Galloway's show that, you know, I ran a red light on my way to a show on my bike because I was late, and that's against the rules. You know, everybody breaks rules, whether they're big ones or small ones. But there's fraud happening on Bay Street, and people plagiarize, and that kind of stuff happens everywhere. But it's far more sensationalized when it's in sport, and it's certainly far more sensationalized when it happens with respect to drugs. So it is an unfortunate reality that that humans cheat in whatever game that they're involved in. But I'm happy and heartened in this sense, and in this case, that there is swift punitive action, and there's justice being served for the athletes who are going to compete.
Adam, it was great of you to join us. Really appreciate your insight. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, guys. Thanks for the chat.